You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, all of my beautiful kindreds out there. Woo, we are, you know, I am going to say this to the family of Mr. Kirk. That was, you know, I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm, you know, it bothers me that we live in a world that is not even safe to go out in the public and speak anymore. And this was a guy that was well loved. He was just a regular human being. I don't know. I try to stay away from politics because I came out of a background where some of my family members in politics and all those things. So I didn't gravitate toward, I gravitated towards humanity, spirituality, things like that. But it is so sad. It breaks my heart to know that we are like animals, that we are untrained life conditions that are supposed to believe in gods and goddesses and humanity and all that. And we are allowing, I don't understand. And I would like for somebody to answer me. In the past, there's been many, many times of assassinations that have happened from on top of a roof. I don't understand why those areas are not policed. Given the fact that they've happened over and over again, please explain that to me and I'll leave it alone. So my kindreds out there, welcome to our show today. We have a guest today. I'm going to get our sponsor, say shout out to Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. Hey, Kev, senior real estate and probate specialist, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, senior real estate and probate specialist, will take care of all your needs. We'll be looking to help you and not to harm you. 818-571-1508. We have a great guest today. I want to say congrats to Kendrick Lamar and Tony Russell for his Emmy Award second one. I believe the first one is in 2022, Super Bowl LVI halftime. And then again for his outstanding, their outstanding music direction, Super Bowl LIX halftime. Very proud. It's nice to see that music, television, and film are beginning to start to merge old Hollywood. So for people that want to move forward in Hollywood, like myself, people that are independent thinkers, want to get to do more with just be the old, same old thing, congrats. It's happening. It's happening little by little. So drum roll for our guest today. I have the wonderful pleasure of having on the show Dr. Alan Leica. Dr. Alan Leica is acknowledged as being one of the top cosmetic dermatologists in the world. I can't tell you what he's done, but some of what he's done is that he has been on every podium you can think of throughout the country, throughout the world, globally, 2003. Since then, he's been talking about humanity and how it feels to be told something negative, like he was told that he had Lou Gehrig's disease, and how it feels to overcome that, turn those things around, and become a healthy, happy person. His two books, The Rule of the Game and How to Live a Fantastic, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, are top sellers. He even has the New York bestseller novelist and author Jack Canfield doing some of the telling about him. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Leica. Hey, Dr. Leica.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to our show.
It is such a pleasure to be with you today. I'm so glad you called on me.
When I heard your story, I couldn't help myself. I love stories, and I love especially stories about people that have overcome things that they were told they would never overcome.
Well, you know, life is strange, and many of us have to overcome things. You know, I had to overcome a death sentence in 2003. I developed suddenly and mysteriously a right foot drop. And after extensive investigations, they couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I went to see a world-leading neurologist. And I walked in. I said, hi. He said, hi back. He said, you better sit down when I'm telling you this. I said, why? I've got a dropped right foot. He said, no, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. get your affairs in order, because in 6 months you're going to be dead. I said, excuse me, is there a way to prove this diagnosis? He said, of course, an autopsy. And I said, no, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong. And I left the office. I slammed the door. I got out. And I cried for hours. I mean, here I was in the prime of my life, at the prime of my career, and I was being told, get your affairs in order. You've got 6 months to live. And that's when you go through changes, Cyrus. You go through anger. You're angry at the world. Why not? Well, you're angry because you've been told you're going to die. And that's a normal human response. You go through bargaining. Oh, God, please don't let this happen. I'll do anything if you don't let this happen. You go through denial. There's nothing wrong. I just have a dropped right foot. But then my right hand became involved, and I couldn't do surgery like I used to. So you know what I did? I learned to be a left-handed surgeon. I trained myself to do everything with my left hand that my right hand used to do. Now, that's hard.
I love you. I know it is.
You know, with 10,000 repetitions, you can do just about everything. And that's what I did. I trained my left hand. But then you go through depression. Have you ever been depressed?
I've been suicidal. I'm like you. I'm a recovered person. I did it on my own by just simply saying, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be like this. I refuse to accept this, that, and the other. And then I've been on a path ever since.
Well, that's what happens, you know. I was ready to commit suicide, too. I wasn't going to die drowning in my own secretions like people with ALS do. So I had a plan to kill myself. But I went to my wife. I said to my wife, dear, what do I have? And she said, I don't have the faintest idea, but you don't have ALS. I said, well, I've seen every doctor on the planet that I know of. And she said, well, perhaps you haven't seen the right doctor yet. You know, doctors have tunnel vision. They only know what they know. They only can see what they can see.
That's right.
So back then, in 2003, something new was invented. You might have heard about it. It's called the internet. You ever hear of that?
Way before then, actually. But yeah.
But you know, back then it was primitive. You had to get on by dial-on connection.
I know. I remember.
Your phone would go ring. Such an obnoxious sound for 15 minutes. And if it got to the other side, you could communicate. But you can only communicate by a primitive language like DOS. Because our computers had no memory back then. There was no Dr. Google. There was no Dr. Yahoo.
ChatGPT and AI.
We didn't have any of this mysterious stuff. We had to get on. And then when you got on, the internet was like it is now. It was like full of garbage cans and the world's best resources. But you couldn't tell the best resources from the garbage cans that were out there. They were so similar. So you really needed people to help you go through that and surf the web. Fortunately, I had a friend that helped me with that. And he found a doctor in Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of David Martz. Now, David had a story very similar to mine, but he got worse much more rapidly. He was on his deathbed within 2 weeks of his symptoms started. Now, David was really beloved, and people were coming from around the world to say goodbye to David. And a doctor came up from Texas and looked at him. And he said, David, you don't have ALS. David whispered, what do I have? The doctor from Texas says, I think you have chronic Lyme disease. I think you were bitten by a tick, and it's mimicking ALS. So he said, I think I can treat you. David said, what have I got to lose? I'm dying. So the doctor started on treatment. And David got better. Within 2 weeks, he was like Lazarus arrive and say, from the dead. And so he started a clinic called the Colorado Chronic Disease Clinic. And he started treating people with this disease. So I knew I had to call him. I called every hospital in Colorado Springs. And I ended up with him at the Methodist Hospital. And David said, can you come down to see me? I said, when? He said, right now. He said, David, it's Thanksgiving in Canada. My wife's going to kill me. She's invited 50 people over. He said, aren't there any planes in Canada? So I went to my wife, my hat in my hand. She said, why? I said, there's a doctor in Colorado Springs that claims he can help you. She said, what are you waiting for? I'll pack your bags for you. I'll drive you to the airport. Come on. You're wasting time. Now, that's what a true love does for you. They help you through these difficulties. And so I got to the airport. I got on a plane from Edmonton to Denver. It's terrible. Then I got on a plane from Denver to Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. It was a rinky-dink puddle jumper. Osiris, have you ever been on a rinky-dink puddle jumper?
No, but I'm a Navy girl and I've been on a lot of stuff. Oh, not one of those.
It would go up and it would go down. It would climb and then it would drop 100 feet without warning. It would climb and then it would drop 200 feet without warning. It would climb and it would drop 300 feet. The reason why is the air comes off the desert at the end of the day and it creates eddies, which causes turbulence, which causes small planes to literally drop without warning. It was like the drop of doom at Disneyland over and over and over again. So it was just a 15-minute flight. But when we got off, everybody was green. Everybody was off track. I crawled off the plane, and there was David on the tarmac. And I said, I don't feel so good. He said, you don't look so good. It's just an analogy of what you should be going through. It's just a metaphor. And we talked. And we talked for hours. And David said, I think I can help. And that's why I'm here, living and thriving in 2025, despite what went on in 2000.
What did he do? What was the program? What was the plan?
On antibiotics. He started me on immune modulators that literally suppress this disease. You see, chronic Lyme's disease is a bite of a tick that causes chronic inflammatory disease. You never can cure it, but you can control it with the right medications. A couple of famous people have had it. Shania Twain, Justin Timberlake.
Now,
in 2003, people didn't know it existed. But now, because Hollywood actors and singers and stuff are catching it, people are saying, oh, it is a disease.
It's true. I interviewed two gentlemen, a couple, on my show about maybe 4 years ago. And he was diagnosed with ALS. And it had gotten really bad. And the partner, you know, was talking about how, you know, there's certain parts of when you go through these kind of things that family and friends, there's nothing you can do but, you know, be there for the person and have compassion. And I'm a Buddhist, so it is something you can do, but, you know, but that kind of thing. And it was just so courageous of both of them to be able to be there supporting each other while the other person's health was completely falling apart. And how devastating it was to actually watch somebody's life decline, like Alzheimer's, anything. Well, but in this case, it was ALS.
Well, you know, everybody in life has something that they're fighting and striving with. There are people that have gone through divorce and their life went through. There are people that are being abused and their life is at jeopardy. You know, there are people with cancers that they're fighting.
True.
There's people with depression and mental illness they're fighting. There's people with addictions that they're fighting. Alcohol, drugs. You know, it is something that everybody has across to life. And the reason I tell my story is because everything you can do can be overcome. You can fight it. You can reposition yourself. But it first starts in the head. It first starts with a mental step. With you deciding you're going to beat this stuff. You have to first get in the driver's seat and decide this is not going to kill you.
You're intuitive. I was just thinking in my mind, this is what my newest thing now is, something I've focused on in the last 2 weeks. It's been like a big focus. The mind, the brain and the heart are both muscles. They are the least exercised muscles in the whole body. And it is like amazing to me that we don't teach to exercise the brain, that the brain is a muscle. If you don't exercise and use it, it will atrophy like any other muscle. The heart is a muscle. If you don't exercise compassion, do kind deeds, exercise to keep the heart rhythmic and stuff like that, it will become atrophied and will become diseased and die. I am convinced that a lot of what we call dis-ease, and I'm coming from a father that was a nurse, and from my own coming out of things, not like you had, but out of mental, where I was gang raped in the military and I was told I was going to die and I was told I had this and I would never get well again. I've got this D, that D, UD, HD, all the Ds, everything. And here I am at this beautiful stage in my life that I have become so incredibly balanced simply from dealing and doing something that is very tuned into developing the heart and the mind. Developing the heart and the mind, because like you said, the mindset is the first demon that has to be tackled. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now that you told us that, okay, what I'm going to do?
Well, after you decide what you're going to have, then you have to move forward. You have to take the step of creating a plan. You have to decide now that you've done all this, that you are actually going to take action. Nothing happens without taking action.
Yeah, what's the plan? What's the plan? And then at one point of that, I love, it was some topic you discussed. And you said authority is the new currency. So my question about that statement that I absolutely adore is, if authority is a new currency, and we know that it is, who determines who the authority is now? Because according to TikTok, YouTube, and all of those, everybody's an authority. Everyone's an authority. They can have talk shows. I know people, and I'm not putting anyone down, but the fact that you establish yourself as one kind of artist or talent, and now you've been had to go in another direction because you're not making any money at doing what you really know to do and you're best at. And someone is giving you a show simply because of your name and because you know somebody is killing. It's sad to watch. So that's my question. Who determines who's the authority these days?
Well, who determines that? And I'm going to say it's the person that's the authority. They have to prove they're the authority. They have to write books. They have to write articles. They have to be in the media. They have to be the ones that are there. They're the ones that win the awards. Other people grant them the authority that they are. In other words, it comes partly from inside them, but it comes from outside of them too. Look at everybody. What makes Bill Gates one of the authorities in the computing industry? Well, first of all, he had shown he was the man, and then other people acknowledged him. So it comes from inside to begin with. He built an empire, but after he built it, it was other people giving him that credibility.
That's true. I'm wrong. That's a good point. That it's other people that make us the authority. They say, yeah, that person is good because they said they knew how to. Let's just take something simple. They knew how to plant tulips in the right time of the year that they would blossom perfectly, and that person has become an expertise. Why? Because they, in fact, do know how to plant tulips, and the tulips they planted are still around. And look, there they are, right there. There's the proof, right?
Exactly. So it first starts with them deciding they are the authority. And then they prove their authority by doing certain items. In others, they don't do it without proving it. And then other people start to acknowledge them as the people they are.
So do you think it's true when they say that the cream always rises to the top, that no matter how much people may fake it until they make it, so to speak, that if they really don't know it, at some point everyone is going to see that they don't have it together. Do you believe that?
I think the public, for the most part, is pretty educated at understands things. I think the public does this. Now, of course, there's all the smoke screen out there with this stuff called social media that I think is the death of things in the world. Just because social media acknowledges a person as being the person at the top, I wouldn't buy that for one iota. I think social media is a social evil in our society. And I think there's ways to jimmy those algorithms to push you at the top of them in such a way that it lacks credibility.
And so before I go into something else I want to talk to you about, join the elite or be forgotten. I want to talk to you about that. But in social media, if we live on it, number one, social media has given people like me that have a lot of experience. I've been in the entertainment industry since I was a kid. I mean, I started when I was like in my late 20s. I'm very mature, over 50, you know, over 60, you know, and I started. And so I do have quite a wealth of experience. Social media has given people like me a chance to have a voice. Because the bigger people and the bigger entities would never have given, they have not given me that. Number one, I'm threatening because I have my own mind and I think for myself. Number two, I know I look good. You know, I'm a former model. And it's not that I'm being arrogant. I'm going on confidence because a lot of things have happened to me to make me not look good. They have knocked me down, tried to kill myself. I was, you know, gangbanged in the military, all kind of stuff. So for me to be still standing strong and tall is like the same thing that you went through.
Let me interrupt here for a minute. You showed you are the credible person from the experiences you went through. All those things that knocked you down brought you up to where you are now. You see, those are the things that I think give credibility. Those are the things that are the true stories behind the stories. I don't know anybody that's at the top that wasn't down at one point in their life. And those are the stories that I talk about, taking a person to the top. Those are the stories that literally push you to the top. It's because all that experience there helps you to ride the wave to where you are now.
Well, how do you retain that? I think the join the elite or be forgotten. So this is what I've observed at the big corporations. I'm talking about William Morris, all these big top entertainment corporations. I had the privy of being there, not only being there, being the only person of color in the room all the time. So I got to observe a lot of things. One thing I observed is that when people left the company with their various titles, no matter how large those titles were, once they stepped back into the outside world, they became like these kind of mediocre people again. There was one guy committed suicide. He had been in the same position at a record label for 30-something years. They came in with a pink slip cut, which is why how I became an entrepreneur from I was tired of being cut and people telling me what I was going to do. And depending on other people, it's a hard road, but it's worth it. And he committed suicide because he could not foresee himself not being able to be attached to a title that was just a title for that 35. He didn't know what to do. And he was really, really close to his mother. And his mother had died. And at the same time, he got let go by the label and he just couldn't handle, even though he was well over 40.
Well, you know, you're a Buddhist and Buddhists believe you are not your actions. You are not the things you do. You are different from the things you do. You are totally separate from those actions. And I think that's what people have to realize. You are not your titles. You are not the things that otherwise. You are still an authority. You still are the person you are because of the credibility that came out through your life experience.
And they're also temporary. Everything in life is temporary. It's temporary. You're not going to be 15 forever. You're not going to be 45 forever. You're not going to be at a job forever. You're not going to do this forever. Even if it was forever, death will soon come and take you from that. So I've learned from being a Buddhist to learn how to be detached in some ways, that these things are temporary. But what my question was, which is what I'd like you to elaborate on, how do you join the elite or be forgot? What does that mean?
I think you join the elite by living a full life. You live your life completely fully. You get your message out there. You get your message out there through the medias that exist. You see, there's the message, there's the media, and there's the people that listen to your message. There's this particular group that resonate with you, Isiris. That is where you are the elite. You will never be elite to everybody. You will never be out there for everyone. You know, there's going to, every time you get on your soapbox and say something, there's going to be somebody that's going to hate you and throw bricks at you. The very fact that you're trying to say what you're doing, the very fact that you're trying to do what is going to peeve somebody off. I've always said if I haven't irritated somebody by 10 o'clock in the morning, I haven't done very much.
That's fun.
It goes with the territory.
Sir. That's fun.
You being a black person is going to irritate people out there. You being a person with a voice is going to irritate people.
Being tall, with blonde hair, anything. Like my mother said, you can have gold dripping from your behind and somebody's going to have something to say. So I'm well aware of that. But the weird thing, just before we leave that, I want to get back into your books. I want to talk a little about that. We're going to do a sponsor break. And then I want to talk to you about those two books.
Yes.
Before I leave that, just so everybody out there know, people of color are not necessarily looking at the way you're looking at us. I'm not walking around saying, oh, I'm a black person. I see myself in the mirror today. I'm black. We're on the inside of ourselves. So the only time I get to really be a color is when somebody else says something to me about it. I am my person. I'm living a life just like anybody else in a body. I'm an entity in a body that happens to have a tone, a color to it. So I want everyone to think about that when you're going around projecting things onto people, just like somebody that may be a paraplegic or combined to a wheelchair or whatever, they're not going around looking at themselves from the outside in because they're not out there. We live inside of our own selves. So the only thing we're really engaged with is our own mental prep And that goes on until somebody verifies that what you're thinking is something that they're thinking at the same time. You see what I'm saying, Dr. Laika?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Osiris. And I think everybody needs to come back after this commercial break so they can learn so much more about what we have to offer.
That's right. It's so much fun when you let go of all the labels. And I've learned so much just being around all these different people from different cultures and different backgrounds. It's expanded me so much and made me such a more powerful, better human being. I'm limited by, I hate to be in a box, and I'm limited by things that are like, it's a color and it's a sex and it's a, I don't want to be limited like that. So I allow my mind to be free and to go where it wants to go. And that's what I love about being who I am. But before we talk to you about your books and I come back and I want to hear what you have to say, we're going to take a station break to talk about our sponsor, Kevin Pike of Coldwell Banker. Kevin is a senior real estate and probate specialist. You can find him any time of the day. He's a wonderful human being. The number is 818-571-1508. Again, he's a sweetheart. I'm serious. We'll laugh, talk, cry. If somebody came and told them, the doctor diagnosed them, Kevin's like, let's find you a nice place to stay, you know, so you can heal or whatever you need to do. He is very human and has a heart. That's one reason I love him. Again, Kevin Pike, senior real estate and probate specialist, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Just so you people know, I don't have a script up here. I study and research people that come on my show. Sometimes I can't hold to memory every single thing because I'm trying to pinpoint. But I'd rather do that than to sit up here and have to read from a paper. I hate that. I feel like I can't really talk to somebody if I'm trying to read from some paper or figure out something rather than studying and doing my best to remember everything I've learned because I can't possibly remember everything. And then talking to you, Dr. Laika, about it. So let's talk about your books, The Rule of the Game and The Secrets to Living a Successful, Fantastic Life.
What would you like to know, Osiris? What would you like?
I want to know, what are the rules? How do you get around the gatekeeper? Like, you're the doctor. The doctor was the gatekeeper. Hi, I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the neurologist. I'm so important that I know everything. You couldn't possibly know anything about your own body, even though you lived in it for however long you lived in it. So I'm going to tell you who you are and what you're going to do. And if you try to go around that, I'm either going to tell you you're crazy or not support you. So how do you get around those people that are there to prevent you from moving forward? You need them in some kind of way. How do you do that?
Well, the answer is you, as a consumer, have choice. You ultimately get to decide. You go to one neurologist that you don't agree with, you get to choose another one. You know, it is not the be-all and end-all if you choose somebody else. I was told by one neurologist that get your affairs in order, in 6 months you're going to be dead. Now, I don't blame him, but that's all he knew in his life. That's all he could see. He had the blinders on. You know, you've seen doctors yourself in your life that didn't believe you, that didn't hear you. In the military situation, you had commanders that didn't believe you, that didn't hear you. You know, it's very often that we have to choose another path when something isn't working our way. And you have to decide the path you are taking. Ultimately, you are in control. It doesn't matter what the others say. You have to decide where you're going to go and how you're going to do it. You know, as a model, you had to be a certain size to fit in a certain
boat.
If you weren't a certain height, if you weren't a certain build, they didn't want you. Well, that didn't stop you for one iota. You still can't. you know, black people are very hard to photograph. So they still found a way to bring out your natural beauty despite all that. So the answer is all inside of you. You choose the path you get to watch on.
That's right.
Often you don't have a map for that path, but you have an internal compass. And what you have to define is your own internal compass. So your compass can lead you along the way.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And that's true. And a lot of, as I can say, and this is across the board, we're talking humanity, not color culture. But when there is struggle and when there is adversity and there are a lot of devils that arise within and then they present obstacles without. So the fact that you're saying that about it starts with self is true. But there are those people that are going to be, it's like having a barrel of apples thrown on top of your head. And you've got to dig yourself out of that. And that's going to take time. And then the people that you would think would understand where you're going. I used to question this. I used to say when I wasn't the where I am now, I say, why doesn't the famous person help their friends? They're starving. Why aren't they helping them? Why are they saying that? And now I understand why. Number one, your friends don't necessarily keep up with where you're going. Your friends aren't putting the time, vision, or energy that you're putting into your vision. They're not doing that. Neither, and a lot of your friends you will outgrow because they're staying in the same mental place. They don't have the same vision you have. That's why they can't go. When you try to talk to them about your dreams and vision, they'll put them down. You don't want to know anybody like that. You don't want to know anyone that's going to, other than help you get where you got to go. You don't really need that. You need yourself, your intuition, and what you just said, your mindset.
Did you know, you've heard of something called the imposter syndrome, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Well, what is the imposter syndrome when you think about it? It's really fear of what other people are going to say about you mm-hmm. because you're stepping out of the path. That little box they put you in. So you are in that box. And as you step out, they start throwing rocks at you. And it's always people lesser than you that throw the rocks at you. It's not people that are upper than you that are throwing rocks at you. It's the ones lower than you. And they'll say, oh, how? What is that of serious? She's so full of herself. She is such a, you know, but really that you start integrating that yourself because you say, oh, my mother used to tell me I was never going to grow up and be.
Yes, sir.
I'm never going to grow up and be the person I am. Somebody in the military said, put up or shut up. Walk the line. You know, march that march. Don't, you know. But again, that's what goes on in those situations. But you integrate that into yourself until that little voice when you walk into the room says, I'm a nobody. I'm a person that doesn't need to be heard. I'm a person that can't be trusted, you know. But that's that little cruel voice inside of yourself. So, you know, if you're saying, I'm not rich, you should say. I'm not rich yet.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not pretty. I'm not pretty yet. I'm fat. No, you're not fat. You're just not thin yet.
Or you're voluptuous, whatever you want to look
at. You just say, I'm not there yet.
Yes.
All you have to do is reprogram that brain of yours that keeps telling you these negative messages. And every day we have 20,000 messages going through that brain.
It's a lot of work the work and the process comes in training the mind. That's what I've learned from being a Buddhist. The mind has to be trained. It's like a wild stallion. It's just all over the place. And you think this, and then you got other people's thoughts coming in, and then you got that, then you listen to radio, then you listen to TV, then you listen to radio, you read the news, blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's why it's very important to sit and be still in silence so that you can hear oneself talk and give you the solutions that you're out here paying all these people all this money to find when they're inside of yourself. Like I tell people, it's hard for me to listen to people to tell me who I should be and what I should do when I've lived inside of myself for all this time. I pretty much know a lot about myself. I've made it a point to know who I am, you know. And that bother, that triggers some people when you tend to know who you are because you've taken the time to figure out who you are. So that leads me to my next question for you.
I'm sorry, we're freezing just for a minute there, Osiris. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I said, how do you not be boring? Someone talked to you about how do you not be boring, you know? And how did you go from being a patient to somebody that's globally aware and now can get online and tell everybody else what to do?
You know, it's baby steps, Osiris. Every day you recreate yourself. Every day you get to decide what you do. Every morning you have another chance to do something amazing. You are given this beautiful chance to reinvent yourself and do something amazing. So you should take that opportunity and all its glory and do it every day. Live each day to the fullest. Live each day to the maximum. Live each day like you were entitled to. Do those things like you should. Like today, I saw you were on my schedule. And I said, wow, this is going to be such an amazing day. Look at all those people I'm going to be able to talk to in your land and in that place that you're in. Look how many people I'm going to be able to talk to through this beautiful media. And there's this wonderful opportunity for me to influence, even if it's just one, even if it's just one person that says, you know, I am so down, I think I'm going to kill myself. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Let help. Go check it out. Go find somebody. Phone the emergency line and talk to somebody today. Because
there's lots of tools.
Back from that. And
we have lots of tools out there.
So get the help you need. You know, I'm living proof that even a death sentence can be overcome. Look what you can do with what goes on in your life come back from death.
It's amazing. And the truth about the matter is, like you said, there's somebody we touch. There's somebody you touched. There's somebody that heard, they needed to hear Dr. Laika. They need to say, wow, this guy went through all of that. I just broke my leg and said they couldn't play football for the next 5 years. I'm ready to kill myself. I'm going to lose my salary. And the truth is, and I'm telling you people this, and Dr. Laika could vouch for my experience. Things in life are temporary. They're designed to help us grow and learn. I know it's hard sometimes, but if I had killed myself, I never would have met Dr. Laika. I never would have known and become a painter. I never would have had a grandkid. I would have missed on all of these things because in that moment, I thought that was the permanent sentence for my whole life. And it was just a temporary situation that I needed to figure out along with some support, my own mind, my own willingness to change or whatever we need to do for ourselves to grow past that. And I can't help but adore someone like you, adore and love and not even know you for being brave enough. That's why I tell people I love them. I like that you can be yourself and do the same thing over and over and go out here and battle things. I love you for being the kind of human being that's get up here and willing to share. You could have become a really selfish kind of person. You could have become angry. You could have just turned off to the world. Oh, I'm only going to get mine. And I'm not going to worry about people like Osiris who's still climbing, who still is aspiring, or other people in the world. I'm just going to get it for myself. And the fact that you wrote two books, The Rule of the Game, and then the other one, The Secrets of Living
a fantastic
Life, and shared those things with us. That's beautiful. I marvel for that for you.
Well, you know, this is what it's about. And really, people, if you'd like to reach out to me and find out more, you can go to my website, drallenleiken.com, D-R-A-L-L-E-N, Leica, L-Y-C-K-A.com. Reach out to me. I'd love to help you. Also, if you need a professional speaker for your organization, go to my website, Dr. L Speaks, D-R-A-L Speaks. Check me out. I'm available. Now, I am also a person that's very busy. So you might get in touch with me. We'll see if
I... But you have a heart still.
I do. So we'll
see. A lot of people lost their heart in the process. I still have my heart, you know.
Well, it's important. And it's important to help those that are less. And I'm going to challenge your audience today to do something for somebody else today they wouldn't regularly do. If you see somebody that needs a hand, help them up. Give them something of yourself. If you haven't seen your neighbor for a while, go knock on their door and say hi to them. Bring them some cookies you baked. Do something that will really change the world for that person. Because you never know what that person is going through. And you never know how down they are and how you can help them.
We never know what people's, I say, karmic circumstances are. Like Mr. Kirk, who I'm sure he didn't wake up yesterday morning saying, I'm going to be murdered. You know, so we really have to live in the moment and do what we can while we're living, while we can do things, because no one ever knows what's going to happen. You know, that's the beauty of understanding cause and effect, the kind of actions we take, how we think, what we do. You know, those things in the future, those things make things happen. Those are the effects of what we do, what we're doing right in this moment. So Dr. Leica, where can we find out more about your books? Where can we find out? You just said about where we could go on your website and find out how to book you as a speaker if we need to. How can we find out more about
you can get my book.
Life, the life that you led. How can we find about how to lead that same life and stay out of that problem area?
Okay, well, the number one place you can reach me is on my syndicated radio show, Live with the Famous Dr. Al. I'm on all Apple stations, so you can reach me there. Okay. You can go to my website, drallenleica.com, D-R-A-L-L-E-N, Leica, L-Y-C-K-A.com. My two books, The Secret to Living a Fantastic Life and Rule the Game, are available on Amazon. The biggest bookseller in the world, just remember my last name, L-Y-C-K-A, and my first name's Alan. You'll find me. I'm everywhere. My books are available every place good books are sold. So if you can't find it, it's not a good bookstore.
That's right. They should be carrying it. If they can't find it, they should be ashamed of themselves not having something that can help people out. And don't forget about me, Osiris_Munir_thepainter on Instagram. Also, I'm telling everyone until it gets ingrained, I am changing the name. We are changing the name of the show from 15 Minutes to Show to The Osiris Munir Show. After all, it is my show. I produce it every week. You know, Sam and I, we get together. We make it a good show for you to present to you. I don't ask for a whole lot, but I do ask for your attention when I'm on this show and I'm on this platform. And I ask to support our guests that come on here and go and check them out and, you know, talk to them. Dr. Leica's easy to talk to. Don't forget, I love you. I love you for being who you are, staying true to yourself and caring enough to share yourself with others, whether that's a minute of your time, your money, or whatever you have to share. And I like you that you come every week and you stay here and you're true to this, true to the chorus and stay on board for us. Shout out to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio, for always letting me shine. And I would not be here if it were not for you. And also, don't forget to smile. It makes things happen. And again, let's thank our guest, Dr. Allen Leica. I love your name, L-Y-C-K. What derivative is that?
It's a Czech name. My father came from Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakian.
Now, it's interesting. That name means happiness in the old country.
Really?
Yes.
That's a great, look at that. See how you learn different things if you don't ask and you're not around. L-Y-C-K-A, it means happiness. That's a wonderful thing for a name to mean. Well, you are welcome to come back on our show anytime. Any last words you want to say out there before we go?
Remember, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens. Remember that. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
So we'll take it out after that. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do, what happens. I love that. And I'm sure everybody else does too. Okay. We'll talk to you later. Thanks again for being on our show. And bye-bye. Bye, you guys. See you next week. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.